Hear the word of the Lord, that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the ways of the nation, or be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the nations are dismayed by them. For the customs of the people are false. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of the artisan. People deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so they cannot be moved. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor is it in them to do good. Together, like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For that is your due. Among all the wise ones of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Blessings, Randy.
Thank you, Chris, for leading us in the scripture this morning. It's great to be gathered together this morning. And I think it's a great day to remember that we serve a God of peace and that we are people of Christ's peace. I'm aware that 1 year ago I was giving my first sermon here, and I believe that that first sermon I also talked about the day of prayers for peace, which I think is pretty cool that that was the first sermon here. So why do we celebrate amongst the global church a day of prayer for peace? Well, it is directly connected, as Chris mentioned, with the International Day of Prayer for Peace. And that is actually tomorrow for the United Nations. And so the church celebrates it the first Sunday closest to the International Day of Prayer for Peace. The idea was proposed in 2004 during a meeting between the General Secretary, Reverend Dr. Samuel Kabiya, who is the General Secretary of World Council of Churches. And he actually partnered with United Nations Secretary, General Kofi Annan. And so I just think it's pretty cool the way it's a place where we see the church working together with the United Nations to say, hey, how can we together remember that the goal in the world is to have peace, to be a people of peace. But let us not forget, too, that the way the church thinks about peace may also be a little bit different than the way the world and United Nations thinks about peace. And so it's not that they're completely opposite things. They're not. I think we're all trying to make the world a better place. Certainly the United Nations is. But the United Nations isn't going to specify that Christ is the center of our peace the way that the church can. And so I think it's a cool place where we can see us working together, each in our particularities of how we understand peace. One of the places where I become very aware of how particular Mennonites are is in the ministerium within the Conestoga Valley. It's actually quite interesting to sit around the table with pastors from many denominations and some non-denominational. And around that table, there's maybe four of us who are Mennonite. And it's really a cool thing to have all of these pastors coming from their particular traditions. And I'm just reminded each time I'm there of how I can't take for granted that we hold a strong peace position as Mennonites. And actually, other pastors really appreciate it, They know that we hold something particular and special here in the peace position. And even if they don't necessarily agree with it, they very much respect it and appreciate that Mennonites are people of peace. And so this morning, I think, as we celebrate the International Day of Prayer for Peace, we especially do it as a tradition of 500 years that has taken Jesus' words seriously, that we are to love our enemies and pray for them. So Mennonite Church USA this has also given some resources for us to talk about Peace Sunday. And each year they have a different emphasis on how we think about peace. And this year specifically is on how we think about being a people of peace in special regards to race and racial reconciliation. How do we think about our own race, our own maybe privilege that we come from? And then how do we work at building bridges with people who do not look like us, come from a different race or culture? How are we building bridges there, working at reconciliation as a sign of what God is doing in this world? And so this morning, I would invite us to think about the topic of race. It can be a difficult topic to talk about sometimes. I know that Whitmer Heights is a place where we care deeply about this subject. And so I think it's good to talk about it here. So how do we see the topic of racial reconciliation in Jeremiah? Maybe that's the question that some of us are thinking of right now. Well, I see a number of places if we dig into this understanding of false idols. But before we get into the topic of false idols, I just want to remind us again of Jeremiah specifically, the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. And that comes from Jeremiah 9, chapter 1. Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Jeremiah has these laments in the book. Laments of seeing the people of Israel just not get it and fall away from God's teachings. And then when they fall away, Jeremiah sees the judgments on them as they are taken into exile. And Jeremiah can't help but just weep for the brokenness. And I thought, how appropriate on this day when we think about peace in the world and just acknowledging all of the brokenness in this world. Whether it's the incredible crisis right now with refugees happening in Europe, as there are literally barbed wire fences being put up on the borders and just people begging to come in because they do not have a home. It's appropriate to think about weeping on their behalf. And if we don't want to go that far around the world, you can come right in here into Lancaster County, where even here we have homelessness. We have people that do not have food security. We have mental health that is a sickness, just like someone that has a heart attack is a sickness. And we need people that love them and care for them and the resources for them. There are so many places, there's death of loved ones that our own church community has experienced in the last 2 weeks, where we continue to weep and remember the loss of loved ones. So it's appropriate on this day of peace to read a text from Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And I believe that God is a God that weeps with us, that Jesus wept. And God is not this far off, distant God saying, wow, there is so many hard things happening down there. That's a shame. That's not the God that I know. God is right here beside the ones most weeping, and he's weeping with them. And he's saying, I love you, and I care for you, and my kingdom is coming. But there's a lot of brokenness still, but I love you. So we all come with many emotions and tears as we think about the brokenness in the world today. This text specifically is talking about false idols. And it's interesting. It talks about how the people, the nations around them are building these false idols. And it's not that Israel at this time is worshiping these idols. Jeremiah doesn't specifically say that. But we know from the story of Israel that they do worship these idols, that there are many times when they do build their own idols. But here, Jeremiah is simply describing how these idols come to be. And he says, they cut trees down from the forest, and they're worked with an axe by the hands of an artisan. People deck this idol with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Basically, what this is describing is people making idols in their own image, and that image becoming a god. If you think about King Nebuchadnezzar, what does he do? He has a huge idol of gold built in his image, and people worship that. King Nebuchadnezzar makes an idol in his own image, and I thought about this. We are created in God's image, but we cannot make God into our image. We are created in God's image, but we cannot make God into our image. And yet that's what they were trying to do here. And so what might this be speaking to us today on this Day of Peace Sunday, as we're thinking about false idols around us? I'm suggesting this morning humbly, and this is where we figure out together, that through the years, Christians, specifically in the West, have created a false idol. And that false idol has been an image of God that looks like us. Specifically, when I say us, white Americans. In the Sistine Chapel, God is an old white man. And some of the most famous images of Jesus reflect a tall, light-skinned, blue-eyed man with a beard and long brown hair. I want to put that image up, Jansen. There it is. We have created a false idol here. Artists, poets, authors have attempted to portray this, the face of God. Michelangelo portrayed him as ancient and strong. Jonathan Edwards portrayed him as full of wrath in his sermon. Painters portray God in their image. And of course, there's something comforting in portraying this Jesus in our own image. But why do we do it? Can you move now to the next photo? Scholars of the ancient of Jesus' day have suggested that this is probably a little bit more likely what Jesus would have looked like. And I just think that's so interesting and important for us to see. That this is the face of God. And on this day when we think about racial reconciliation, what does that face often represent to so many Americans? Fear. And yet that's the face of God. Jesus looked much the same as the person that we are often are not sure of. Whether that's through media, through the news, we have created an image of someone that is so different from us that we want to separate. You can turn the slide now. Yeah. And I want to suggest that this isn't something that we choose to do personally. I don't think any of us choose to picture this white Jesus as our first understanding of Jesus, or to be afraid of a Jesus that looks that way. But this is a part of a larger system that we're a part of, a larger history that we're a part of, that has systemically understood God a certain way and systemically created fear to understand God a different way. It's a systemic sin. And so what does that systemic sin realistically look like today in America? I'll suggest a few things. Yes, segregation is not legally mandated anymore. However, it's still here. It exists overtly in our school systems, communities, and prisons. It permeates our society in ways we often do not realize. According to 43% of Latinos and 38% of blacks go to schools where less than 10% of their peers are white. I'll say that again. 43% of Latinos and 38% of blacks go to schools where less than 10% of their peers are white. But beyond that, we often forget how it impacts us personally, how it permeates not only many of our public and private institutions, but culture at large. I spent in 2003 a year in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was a wonderful year. It was a difficult year. I went through Eastern Mennonite Missions with the YES program. And my eyes were opened up in a way that I never could have imagined to the way race and racism still exists in our country. Our team was living in the inner city projects of Birmingham, Alabama, which is a very racially segregated area. And as we walked through the projects of Birmingham, we were pretty much the only white people there. And we worked with an after-school program. And these children were coming right after school into this, into the after-school program that we helped to administer. We were helping them with basic homework, math, reading and writing skills. We just simply wanted to love the children and help them with their school homework. But I realized something in that year that I never realized before. Children would come and they wouldn't have their own school book. They would be sharing with others. And I would say, "Where's your school book?" "Well, we didn't get one." "Why not?" Something I took so for granted, I had my own school book. And yet these children are in a particular school district in Birmingham that is so poorly funded that the children can't even get their own school book. Segregation is still here. And my heart just kind of broke a little bit. And I realized after that year just how privileged I was myself. It's so easy in the bubble of Lancaster County to forget that some of these things still exist in our country. How are we being people of Christ's peace across race and racial reconciliation? Well, I believe that as this text mentions, yes, there's false idols. Yes, we have made God into our own image. Yes, we are guilty of racism and places where we haven't gotten it right, and yet, at the end of this text, it says, "But God is the true God." We don't have to be afraid of the false ones. We can put our faith in the God of loves all people, a God of peace across all races, a God that has consistently showed in Jesus that he's building bridges and that the kingdom is for all people. That is what we put our faith in this morning. That we serve that kind of God that loves all people. And that as Christ's peace and God's people, we work in that way. And so, where do we see grace in the world? Where do we see God's inbreaking kingdom that works at reconciliation across race? Well, I am grateful that I'm a part of this body that I know cares deeply about this issue, that has demonstrated loving all people. I celebrate that. And I don't take it for granted. I celebrate that we have worked with different refugee families in the past that has sought to break down some of those barriers and walls. I celebrate that we do have people that worship here every Sunday morning that are of different races and cultures. And I am always hoping that we can keep looking that way. And where do we see grace in the world in Lancaster County? Over the past 3 years, Lancaster County has helped to resettle 1,630 refugees from Cuba, Somalia, Burma, Bhutan, and other nations. Lancaster ranked third in the number of refugees resettled from October 2012 through July 2015. We are working at that right here in some small ways. And as we work at that, I think we break down some of those barriers and walls that can so easily divide us. The face of God is not the face that we often are associated with. It's the face of God is often the one that we're sometimes more hesitant of or afraid of in our culture. This morning, my prayer is that this day of prayer for peace, that we are reminded again who God is and who God calls us to be. And I would pray that this week, as one small step, is that build a new relationship with somebody of a different race and culture. What if it's just introducing yourself to someone that you don't know? Or a friendly hello. May we be people of Christ's peace in this issue. I'm going to read a poem to close from Jennifer J. Slater. I feel his spirit which moves me. I feel his love which comforts me. I feel his peace amidst strife. I see splendor, majesty, miracles. I see character. I see God in the grass, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans. I see God in the ghettos, the palaces, the hills, and in the valleys. I see God in the AIDS clinic and in the food banks. I see him in tears and in laughter. He is everywhere. He is all around me. He is within me. But what does God look like? He looks like you, and he looks like me. God is beautiful. Let's pray. God, on this day of Prayers for Peace Sunday, we are painfully aware of how much brokenness there is in this world, in our own lives, in our families, in our neighbors, in our church, our denomination, our conference. And I thank you that you are a God of peace, of shalom. God, I'm going to pray for different places in this world where we ask for your peace, and then I'll just give some time of silence for people to pray silent prayers as we have prayers for peace. God, we lift up the violence around the world. We know that you are crying with those. We pray for those affected by the violence, refugees. We pray for people who are in the midst of the fighting right now. And we ask for your peace. God, I pray for places where we still see divides and barriers and walls put up amongst races, even in our own country and city and county. God, we pray for racial reconciliation. We pray for our school districts that aren't as funded because they're in a demographic that represents certain races. God, we ask for your peace to come. God, I pray for peace in our church, our conference, and our denomination. There is a lot of conflict right now. There is a lot of questions being asked. We pray for a spirit of unity and love and your peace to be in the midst of all of this, that we may represent who you are as we dialogue together. God, we pray for peace with creation. We thank you that you are the creator of this world and that you call us to be stewards of this world. Help us to make decisions that treat the world and creation with peace, that we may work towards a more sustainable future. God, I pray for peace in our families, in the midst of the loss of loved ones. Would you comfort and give your peace? In the midst of broken relationships, we ask for your peace. God, in the midst of just the busyness of life that can take us away from quality time with one another, we ask that in our families we would be representations of your peace. And finally, God, I pray for peace in our own hearts. God, we know that you are a God that brings forgiveness and healing as we confess our sins and as we are a community that walks together. God, I pray that as we are on this journey, that your peace would come into our hearts, that we would be able to find safe people to talk to when we have struggles, and that your healing would flow in. Thank you that you are a God of love and forgiveness. We ask for peace with you. Thank you, God, for this day to celebrate and to remember how we are people of your peace. We pray through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.